Well, the government is getting ready to buy some land for Flight 93 for a big memorial. I applaud them for doing that because they're getting the land pretty much for a song anyway. But Flight 93, of course, we're talking about Pennsylvania and the crash site where those people were so brave that they ended up bringing the flight down. It could have been much bigger of a disaster for the people on the ground and certainly in D.C. if you remember what happened in Shanksville. I think that's a brilliant idea. The U.S. Interior Secretary has reached agreements with the landowners, and they're going to have a permanent memorial for the 40 people killed in that hijacking 8 years ago. The sad thing is, as there's going to be a memorial there, there still is controversy in New York over some of the things that are being done at the World Trade Centers. It looks as though now it's going to be much more of a memorial. And in fact, one good thing that has happened that's not controversial, and here's where we start because we're getting closer to that day. It's just a couple of weeks away. As somebody who's been there, you know, they're constantly hawking you pictures, horrible pictures from here's what it happened, here's what it looked like, that's souvenirs and all this other stuff. Now, the museum that they have that's set up that shows, you know, pictures and things from that day, they're set up to sell hats and things, little trinkets from 9/11, and it sounds ghoulish, but the deal is if people are going to buy that stuff anyway, if they buy it at this museum, the money goes to the victims' families of 9/11, so I think that's a positive thing. In the meantime, as we get ready to remember the people who lost their lives, and I hope you all take a moment out of your day to do that on the 11th when we get to it, as we get closer to it, I'll tell you the one thing that's kind of now caught my attention. And I think I saw somebody on Fox talking about it, and I've seen some other people talking about it as well, is what to do overall on September 11th. That maybe this should be a day of service. That's what Obama says. Make it a day of service so people have to volunteer, do something like that to honor the people from September 11th. And I don't know. Is that a good thing? In theory, kind of at first when I heard about it, sounds good, but then I think, yeah, but what does that have to do with people being killed by terrorists? I mean, hopefully people volunteer. You do what's in your heart. If you go help at a soup kitchen or on Thanksgiving, you help, you know, dish out some Thanksgiving turkey and dressing and all that kind of stuff. Or maybe you have adopted a kid in another country or done a slew of other things, done something through your churches, et cetera, or given a couple of bucks here and there when you could afford it to whatever charity. I don't know. It seems just a little bit too contrived to me. Coming up on our next shows in a week or two, we're going to give some ideas that we're going to have some people on to talk about 9/11 and what really truly is the right way to honor the people who lost their lives as a result of that awful, awful terrorist attack. And we'll do that, like I said, in another week or two. In the meantime, politics as usual in D.C. of a different sort and in Massachusetts. Now that Senator Ted Kennedy is buried in Arlington National Cemetery, the question becomes what to do with his seat. Why do you care if you're listening to me in Missouri, in Illinois, in Connecticut? Because it could affect the health care debate. In fact, it will affect the health care debate or reform when it gets to the Senate, because I think there will be some form of some bill that will eventually get there. It's a question of timing. If the timing is push as fast as we can in the next month or two, once everybody's back, then ultimately the governor, who says there will be a special election, which is law in Massachusetts, it would take 145 to 160 days to put that person in place, to elect that person, to let, yes, the people of Massachusetts speak and elect whoever it is to take Kennedy's place. But now he's talking about appointing someone, putting someone there in the interim, of course, going to be a Democrat, whoever it's going to be. And this flies in the face of something that happened in the past when Mitt Romney had the chance to do that back in 2004 when he was running the state and Senator John Kerry was running for president, he could have done the same thing. That didn't happen. People went crazy at even the thought of that. And the Republicans didn't end up doing that. And, of course, then what was put into practice was this idea of the special election. So while the Democrats were wild at the idea of a Republican governor appointing someone for Kerry's position, now they're saying, well, now it's on us. It's our turn. So I guess it might be okay. I think it would be incredibly hypocritical. Here, however, is what the governor, Deval Patrick, had to say about that special election and then the interim situation.
In addition to losing a great political leader and friend, his passing leaves a big gap in our congressional delegation. Under our law, it is up to the people of Massachusetts to fill it in a special election. So today, in accordance with my responsibility under Massachusetts law, I am designating Tuesday, January 19, 2010, as the date of the special election. Massachusetts voters will have their opportunity to fill this Senate vacancy. Later today, Secretary of State William Galvin will issue a calendar listing the applicable dates and deadlines for the events leading up to the special election, including the primary date. He'll put that up on his website before the end of today. I encourage the voters of our Commonwealth to participate in choosing our next United States Senator, and I join with them in looking forward to a robust and substantive campaign. In the meantime, without the modest change that Senator Kennedy himself proposed, Massachusetts will not be fully represented in the United States Senate. Now, let me be clear. I wholly support the special election and the democratic process to fill the remaining 2 years of Senator Kennedy's term. But I will continue to work with the legislature on legislation authorizing an interim appointment to the United States Senate for the 5 months until that special election happens.
All right, so on the 9th, this will be discussed in an open meeting. We'll see if there are enough people protesting and saying, I don't think that this is right, and enough people complain, and maybe the interim situation doesn't go through. But I think it will, because there'll be enough Democrats that will push for that. And obviously, the governor knows that the push from many people around him was, okay, you got to fill this with a Democrat. Teddy's gone. You got to do this. We got to have the representation. Healthcare reform is the big baby that's going to be up on the boards, they think, even though there are some senators who don't believe it'll even get that far before Christmas, which would then make it, you know, a who cares issue, because in January they'd have a special election and somebody would get in there pretty quickly. I hope that happens. It's just too hypocritical, I think, to go back and say, well, we're going to appoint somebody, when the Republicans weren't allowed to do the same thing and they didn't end up doing the same thing. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the CIA investigation and what's that all about from a legal point of view with terrorism expert Jeff Atticott. Stay with us.
If you or your parents are 62 years of age or older and a homeowner, RMApply.com has a message that is vitally important for you and your family. Did you know that you may be eligible for up to $625,000 in HECM benefits? Visit RMApply.com and apply for free to see how much you are entitled to. Right now, people just like you are taking advantage of their benefits and using the money to pay off debt, purchase precious metals, stock up on storable foods, and support this show's sponsors. You may be entitled to hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's your money, and you're entitled to it. Apply for free at rmapply.com. That's the letter R, the letter M, apply.com. rmapply.com. Or call them today for a free, no-obligation evaluation to see how much you qualify for. Call 713-551-1155. That's 713-551-1155 today.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. August 31st, 2009. Gold opened this morning at $954.70. A one-ounce gold coin can be purchased for $981.95, $490.98 for a half ounce, or $245.49 for a quarter ounce. That's $981.95, $490.98, and $245.49.
How is it that we the people grow the cotton, weave it into fabric, engrave the ink, embed the strips and fibers that protect it from counterfeit, then cart the money off to a privately owned bank to have it lent back to us at interest, forcing us to pay taxes to service the debt? Is this capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when he said, a central bank issuing a public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar inside of a book that explains how the monetary system works. Call for your copy, 1-800-686-2237. Isn't it time to understand the system? Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com, or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
This is America Tonight. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney. Thanks for joining us coast to coast and everywhere in between. Of course, over the weekend, former VP Dick Cheney said investigating the CIA interrogations was a political move. And, you know, I agree with that. We talked about it a ton on our last show. The big question is, what's next? And actually, how is this going to be meted out? Will anybody see a criminal prosecution as a result of this, you know, actually do some time? Can you imagine? I heard, because I have a pretty good source, the CIA, that it's not a joke. The morale is really, really down. And a lot of guys are on pins and needles, and they're upset to be put back in this position thinking, okay, look, we're trying to play by the rules, and we're dancing in the gray zone. What are you doing to us? Who better to have on ATM? We love it when this guy joins us. Terrorism expert Professor Jeff Atticott. He's the director of the Center for Terrorism Law at St. Mary's University School of Law. Jeff, thanks for coming back on the show.
No, it's always a pleasure.
Hey, the first thing I'll ask you is Dick Cheney over the weekend. I'll tell you what, I loved his, the quote I really liked, and I said this earlier, is when he said, you know, it offends the hell out of me. I think it is offensive what's happening. After the president said, look, let's not go backwards, let's move forward, and that's what we need to do here. Let's not go back into the past. So why this big reversal? It's all on Eric Holder is what they're saying.
Well, yeah, you know, Eric Holder is supposed to be neutral and detached as the attorney general, but anybody that believes that is living in Never Never Land. Of course, they're joined at the hip. I haven't seen a closer relationship between the president and the attorney general since JFK had his brother, you know, appointed as the attorney general, Robert Kennedy. And there's no way that Holder's going to be moving forward on this issue without the explicit approval of President Barack Obama. There's no question about that. And I do think you're correct on one thing. I mean, it's curious that this is coming at a time when the president's approval ratings by all measurements are below 50% from a drop of 70-something percent down to, you know, 40-42 if you look at the Zogby poll today. And it's wagged the tail, in my opinion. He's trying to distract, divert attention from his failed ideas about health care and spending and his approval ratings and get that off and go back to the, you know, blame Bush campaign slogan that worked so well during the campaign.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. I mean, I'll ask you this again. We've talked about this before. And in all honesty, I get kind of a split reaction to this. I've talked to people that work for the CIA that have been involved in interrogations, and they tell me, absolutely, there you have to do certain things in interrogations, and they have gotten important information that has possibly stopped the wheels of some terroristic activity that could happen in the United States. Then there are others that say, well, no, that's not true. It's more good cop, bad cop, and, you know, stripping someone naked or playing loud music or waterboarding them, all of that doesn't work. You're an expert in this field, and especially in the legal area of it. What do you think?
Torture does work. I mean, there's no question about it. Those that say that torture doesn't work are disoriented to the issue. People will talk under stress. In Vietnam, we informed our soldiers that you're going to be tortured if you're captured. You should resist to the best of your ability, but we realized that at some point all of our soldiers were going to break and they were going to tell whatever they knew. But the real question from my perspective is, from a legal perspective, is did we violate the torture convention? All these enhanced interrogation techniques took place in 2003, 2004. From that time forward, Congress and the courts have passed a series of laws that have stripped us of doing any type of interrogation. Today, we're at the point where if we want to interrogate someone, we have to ask their permission first. For example, in Guantanamo Bay, if they say no, that's it. We cannot engage in what's called degrading or humiliating treatment, which we've interpreted to be, even to the extent of handing them the Koran, would be considered to be degrading because our infidel hands touched it. So that's where we're at today. But in 2004, these bizarre restrictions were not in place, and we interpreted the torture convention with very careful legal memorandums that were put out by the Department of Justice. And in those memorandums, we looked at existing laws like the Ireland versus UK case and determined that the techniques that we approved, the waterboarding would be the worst, did not constitute torture. I agree with that position. I testified before the subcommittee of the Senate about a month and a half ago that was correct. And, of course, they didn't want to hear that. So I suggested to them that, do you believe that waterboarding is torture? Article 12 of the convention says you must prosecute. So let's stop all the political grandstanding and this political piñata game and prosecute. But, you know, they don't want to prosecute. They want to, quote, unquote, investigate and drag this out and drag this out and drag this out.
Yeah, so then if the investigation, then that's the idea, like you said, it's a good distraction measure because you can just keep doing that. You can trot different people out, little things leak out, stuff starts to come out, whatever. It's exaggerated or not exaggerated, and it becomes a big game that can be played out for a very long time, maybe for a whole year, who knows.
Oh, absolutely. This has been rehashed now for the 10th time by the Democrats since, 2006. It's the same old song over and over and over again. Now, there is a case in California in federal district court where John Woo, one of the individuals that wrote some of the legal memorandums, is being sued by, of all people, Jose Padilla, who's in prison for his participation with Al-Qaeda. And that case is a lawsuit that's going forward individually, but clearly from a political standpoint, when you've got the President of the United States at one point saying, no, we're going to move on, they did the best they could, and then doing a 180 just 2 months later, it's very, very curious. And again, in my opinion, if you look at 2004 and what the legal standards were at that time, we did not violate the torture convention, we didn't violate American law. But of course today, as I said, we're at the point where anything that we do to any detainee would violate some new law that we put into place. As I said, the standard now is we can't engage in degrading or humiliating treatment. Back in 2004, we could use stress and duress tactics. We did use those tactics, and we gained, if you look at the CIA memos that were released, valuable information that led to the breakup of other terrorist plots.
Yeah, so how scary is that then? And moving forward, basically we handed them the playbook anyway. When I say they, Al-Qaeda or Taliban, et cetera, whoever. And that means moving forward, as you keep saying, Jeff, that certainly, I would think, weakens the United States' position if torture works, right?
Yeah, I mean, it does work. But again, my point is, we never tortured anybody. It just didn't happen because we were one step ahead of the changing law, and as the standards got lower and lower of what we could do, our interrogations got weaker and weaker. But that's my objection. When you use the word torture, it rolls off the tongue really easily. But under the law, even waterboarding does not constitute torture as we did it in 2004. And now, of course, the lesser techniques, stress and duress, humiliating, degrading, we can't do those things anymore that we did in 2004, 2003. Now, we have had individual soldiers and interrogators in their individual capacity that have violated the law, that have committed murder on detainees, that have really tortured detainees. And those cases should be investigated if they were done by the CIA. And those individuals should be prosecuted, as we did with the folks at Abu Ghraib, and they should be put in jail. And that's a separate issue, and many people will point to a case or two where a soldier did murder, did torture, real torture, and they say, see, the administration is murdering and torturing people, and when you ask them, what's your example, they would say Abu Ghraib. No, that's an example that you're not a deep thinker. Those are individuals in their individual capacity, and if we were treating them as heroes, we'd give them medals, but they're in, a detention facility in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas today because they violated the law. So that has occurred. And if the Obama administration wants to pursue, scrub all the detention issues and look for people that have done those things, and that's some of the photos that were, that Obama was going to release at one point and then decided not to,
right,
because those were photos of people that had violated the law.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, obviously. We'll see. If I was John Woo, I would be furious. My hair would be on fire, and I'm sure many, and that's what I've heard too, that people are just can't believe that this is now coming up, and who knows what kind of a dog and pony show it'll be. Jeff, we'll talk to you again down the road.
Yes, ma'am. My pleasure.
Thank you. Jeff Atticott, always adding a lot to the show, I think, and as I said, he is a terrorism expert. You heard what he had to say about the legal side of it, and that's the key in talking about prosecutions. It's the letter of the law. Where were we at that particular time? Which has been hashed and rehashed, as he said, so much that going back, let's be honest, also you're wasting taxpayers' money because guess what? You and I fund this. If there is a year-long investigation, it comes out of tax dollars. What was that number we said about the deficit? Something like $9 trillion? No wonder why we're in the situation we're in. Just let's throw money at things that shouldn't be investigated. It makes no sense, especially if you're going to come up with nobody in the end, which is what it looks like to me, and obviously it does to Professor Atticott as well. On the flip side, Joe Drape from the New York Times joins us. He has a cool new book out. We're going to tell you all about it. Stay with us.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy.
Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe fresh vegetables, ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
For years, doctors and researchers have known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people have trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, AlkaZone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. AlkaZone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's AlkaZone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call AlkaZone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
America tonight. Really excited about our next guest. I hope he's had a lot of coffee. He probably has weird hours, though. You know, he's one of the best writers, I think, for the New York Times. He is the master when it comes to horse racing. And we're going to talk about a new book that he has out that has nothing to do with horse racing, but it's incredible. You'll be riveted to this book if you get it. I'm not going to spoil the surprise because first I've got to nail him about something that happened this past weekend. Without further ado, from the New York Times, my pal Joe Drape. Joe, how are you?
Kate, it's always a pleasure to be on with you. And how are you?
I'm excellent. We have a special little tribute for you. Can we load her up, guys, back in Minnesota? You've only heard that probably, I don't know, 1,000 times in your life?
Yeah, and I'm like a horse back in the barn there. My head sticks out, and I look left and right, and I'm ready to run.
All right, so the Travers this past weekend, I have to ask about this. Summer Bird wins 3.5 lengths on this one. Same horse, obviously, for people who don't know, that won the Belmont. You weren't surprised by this, right?
No, he's a very good horse, and this is a very good crop of three-year-olds. And, you know, he did what his daddy did. He won the Belmont and followed it up with the Travers. That's Birdstone's his daddy. The Super Filly, Rachel Alexander, won in there. She's running this week. And, you know, this is a good crop of three-year-olds, Kate, and I know you're a horse player.
Yeah, but what's next that's big? What are we looking forward on the horizon? Because, you know, it's always this spring where we're pumped up. We can't help it. It's the Triple Crown and all that, you know, the Kentucky Derby. So what's next that's big and hot and juicy on the docket? Breeders?
The Breeders' Cup, that's it. That's all that's left. It's November 6th and 7th. The best horses from around the world are running out at Santa Anita on synthetics, which brings more Europeans in. And it really is two great days of racing, and it's moving up in stature because of the synthetics, because of the new stringent drug rules. I can't wait to get to Santa Anita in November.
Oh, yeah. You're so lucky. So you get to go to all these great places, and you get to partake in all the eating of the foods of the various cities that you get to travel to.
Absolutely. I'm in Kansas City right now, and I've been eating barbecue for the last 2 days, so it's the greatest thing in the world, and this is the barbecue capital of the world.
Yeah, I agree with you, too, by the way. Texans think that they have it, and in North Carolina they think so, too, but out of their barbecue I can't even eat. So I don't.
No, this is great meat, great sauce, succulent, cooked just right. This is, and I am a Kansas City native, but this is the best barbecue in the world.
Thanks for making us hungry. So you have this book out called Our Boys, A Perfect Season on the Plains with the Smith Center Redman. It's on the New York Times bestseller list, debuting at number 26. You'd be pretty happy about that, eh?
Oh, I'm thrilled. I'm over the moon, Kate. And, you know, I've been in this business a long time, and, you know, the story has matched my personal experience and matched its success. I moved to Smith Center, Kansas, which is smack dab in the middle of America, continental U.S., last year with my wife and my three-year-old. And ostensibly, it was to look at this high school team. They've won 67 games in a row, football, most in the nation, five straight championships. But what had intrigued me is I'd gone there for the Times in 2007 and did a story about them. And their coach, the first thing he said to me was like, "This isn't about football. This is about raising kids, and this is what we do very well right here. And we do it so well that our kids go to Denver, Kansas City, Dallas. They become doctors and lawyers, and some of them come back and some don't." And, you know, I had my three-year-old boy at the time. I'm from Kansas City. I'm a Midwesterner. And it really got a yearning in me to go home and to be a better parent and learn. You know, we all need help with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I believed him when he went there. And sure enough, we went back there, and it was really the most profound, rewarding personal and professional experience I've ever had. This is a town of 1900, Kate. The nearest McDonald's or Walmart's 90 miles away. You know, we're talking grain elevators and combines and hard farmers. I was blown away the first time I got there was during wheat harvest, and it was all hands on deck. You know, if you're a lawyer in Omaha and daddy calls you home, you come with all your kids, and the whole family, 6 to 80, are driving grain carts, bringing the harvest in because, you know, 15 minutes of hail ruins your whole crop. So it really was a learning experience here, and I had a great time.
Yeah, so and I read the book, and it's not just about high school football, though it reminded me of parts of it, obviously, like the book Friday Night Lights, and, of course, the town just embracing this team and the whole idea of football. But it centers around their life. It centers around the family, as you just so eloquently described. And Coach Barta, what was he like? What was he like? And I mean, you could see that through the pages, but what was it like to hang out with Coach Barta?
You know, it was a privilege because Coach Barta looks like the actor Wilford Brimley, big walrus mustache. He never talked about winning or losing. He never raised his voice. And it was being with a guy who has wisdom and who is a teacher. And he is a teacher. He's done it for, you know, 40 years. And it was just powerful to see how you shape young boys into men. And he leads. He doesn't push. You know, he told me that it wasn't about football, and he was absolutely right. The first half hour, 45 minutes of every practice was a team meeting where it would be, okay, guys, it's the first day of school. I want you to go in and look your teacher in the eye, shake his or her hand, introduce yourself, because first impressions mean everything. The first dance, he'd say, guys, I want you to treat these young women like the ladies that they are. And, you know, it was all about building the whole man. You know, his philosophy was very simple, Cade. He said, look, somebody in here is the best football player. Somebody in here is the worst. Let's get over that. Let's respect each other. Because once you respect each other, you learn to like each other. Once you learn to like each other, you learn to love each other. And that is when together we become champions. And, you know, it was simple, powerful stuff. And I always felt like I was next to a guy who just had this presence and had this really easy message, but told it very powerfully.
What was it like for your family? You know, you go back and you're there for a year for your wife. You mentioned your three-year-old. All of a sudden, boom, plop, here we are, and we're the newbies in town. And I guess everybody knew who you were after a short time because you weren't somebody that grew up there, and they would ask you, I'm sure, who you were. What was that like getting to know the people there?
You know, Kansas, I you're down in Texas. I've been in Texas. I've been throughout the South. They have a very overt warmness and welcoming. The people of the plains of Kansas are very nice people, but they are very much reserved. And, you know, they were suspicious. I came from New York City to write a book about them. But first day I'm there, they're dropping tomatoes and cucumbers off. They're inviting me to fish fries. You know, they're welcoming us into their home. So we got off to the right foot there. It was a matter of building trust. Now, my wife is a Chicago native. She's been blessed and had a great career selling advertising for 25 years, but she wanted to come home too. You know, what we miss, Kate, and what having Jack, I mean, Jack loved it. What having Jack reminded us of is we grew up in a community where you left in the morning and you came back after dark and everybody knew the Drake boys. You know, my mom would say, hey, it's a small town, act like it, because if you act up, I'm going to hear about it. in Manhattan, I mean, just by dint of the size of it, Jack's always within an arm's length of us. You know, you can't turn him loose in the streets.
Right.
When we'd come back to Kansas City to my brother's house, he'd walk out in the yard and he'd say, look, Uncle Tom has a park, because, you know, that was grass to him, was always a park. And you know, we wanted to kind of recapture our youth and give him what we grew up with, and he just blossomed. We took a toddler from Manhattan down there, and he came back a boy. I mean, the best memories that I'm ever going to have from there is picking him up at preschool every day, and him running out and saying, Dad, are we going to go to practice? Yes, we are. And we drive 15 miles back to the practice field, and he'd pop out of the car and would be gone, playing with his water boy buddies, fake tackling, playing with grasshoppers. I mean, it was terrific stuff.
Yeah, terrific, terrific book. Congratulations and continued success with it. Our Boys, A Perfect Season on the Plains with the Smith Center Redmond. What's next, Joe Drape? You're going to do another book?
You know, books find you, Kate. You really can't plan on those. I mean, I'm here in Kansas. I'm going to go see the Redmond play Friday. We're going to reconnect with all our friends. We were there a couple weeks ago, and it was great. You know, this really is a place that believes it takes a village to raise a child. So I'm going to go finish this out, and then I'm going to go back to work just like you go back to work. I am going to cover some horses. I'm going to cover some colleges. I'm going to just try to keep making a living in this great big world of ours.
I love how you said that. All right, Joe, we look forward to talking to you again here on America Tonight. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good luck, huh?
All right, you too. Joe Drape, you got to read his stuff. I'll tell you, if you're a horse racing fan, there is none better in the game. And obviously that book, I read it with, I guess it took me 2 days. And I don't think it would have taken me 2 days except for that I had to stop for something I had to go to. McChrystal, what does he say, our general, about what's up in Afghanistan? We'll tell you about it around the bend.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look.
and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Did you know that colon cancer is one of the most common forms of cancer in the U.S.? Did you know that the number one health problem patients complain to doctors about is gastrointestinal related? Health experts predict that almost every American will develop some type of colon disease, polyp, tumor, or cancer in their lifetime. If you suffer from constipation, irritable bowel syndrome, frequent gas, or other intestinal related problems, you need to take action. That's why you need Temple Cleanse. Temple Cleanse is a unique colon cleanser that works by delivering oxygen and magnesium to the intestinal system to stimulate a gentle yet effective cleanse. It's the most effective colon cleanse product on the market and one of the best decisions you can make for your health. To learn more and to order your very own supply of Temple Cleanse, visit healthtruthrevealed.com. That's healthtruthrevealed.com or call 1-800-593-6273. That's 1-800-593-6273 today.
I heat up, I can't cool down. Got me spinning round and round, round and round, round.
Coming up this day in history, plus birthdays like Phil McGraw, TV Doc. How old do you think Phil McGraw is? Kind of a big birthday for him. Also, comic Lily Tomlin with a huge birthday, and Gloria Estefan celebrates a birthday with all the people I just mentioned as well. This day in history, a couple of interesting things. In 2002, if you're one of those entertainment people, then you might know this. Sarah Michelle Gellar married Freddie Prinz, Jr. in Mexico, and I think now they're having a baby. I think she's pregnant, but that's a long marriage, right? Hollywood standards, 2002, it's 2009. So far, so good. Especially young Hollywood. How about this? In 1981, Goodman Music Company of Dallas offered a free shotgun when anyone bought any organ or piano. You gotta love that. How controversial would that be right now? They would have ended up in Michael Moore's movie, Bowling for Columbine. Remember that thing with the bank, if you happen to see that? Oh, my, oh, my. Anyway, we'll give you some more of those coming up round the bend. In the meantime, I promised this, if you were listening to America Tonight last hour when we did odds and ends, we had a conversation with our good buddy Don in Wyoming, and we ran out of time. But there was this wacky story, so we thought we would give it to you now, this wacky story of a television anchor. You know, they do these stand-ups, and people don't realize a lot of times, of course, if it's live, it's live, but he was doing a pre-packaged deal where he was doing a setup and doing this thing called a stand-up, and unfortunately, one of God's creatures decided to pay a visit. Here's what it sounded like.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Rod Wood with your news, Channel 9 On The Go webcast. Here's what's happening right now. There's been a bad accident up in Oswego County this afternoon. Deputies tell us two vehicles collided up there, and can be on me. Can be just bit me.
bee stung me.
Where?
Look, bee stung me. Look, I got stung by a bee. Motherfucker. Anybody hurt?
What I love about this piece is a lot of times I get this feeling when things are on YouTube or they're fed all of a sudden all over the place. Yeah, it's kind of a setup because they know they're going to get somebody's going to look at it, pick it up. Definitely this was no setup. A bee stung him. He was sitting there doing his deal, and the bee stung him, and he was just thrown for a loop. How many expletives, Matt, did you think he used in the course of about a minute?
I don't know. I counted at least five, I think.
Yeah, I think about five, too. And, you know, the funny thing is, after that, he just went into his thing and did it again. No biggie. So he obviously wasn't allergic to bees, or
it's
he might have swollen. Yeah. He would have swollen up or something. See, here's the thing. People forget sometimes when they're on camera. We saw that with the CNN anchors, the one where the woman went to the bathroom and she was trashing her sister-in-law, and it was going out over the airwaves. And I've actually seen that a bunch on CNBC. And if you watch your local news, people listening to us, I'm sure every once in a while something kind of funny happens. A microphone slips or somebody says something and they don't realize that they're on camera. And it happens, usually when it's live. But in this case, he was taping something and it was just too juicy not to put out there. The bees. And as I mentioned, I've never been stung by a bee. Don't know why. I've been around bees. I've gotten away from bees, like a hornet's nest or whatever, but never have been stung by one. So I'm assuming I'm not allergic to them, but I have no clue. I don't know how unusual that is. If everybody, you know, naturally you assume, well, once in your life you're stung by a bee, but I can put myself in the category of someone who hasn't been stung. Speaking of being stung, any time I see Joe Jackson on the tube, I just want to cringe. And, of course, now he's reacting to what's going on with his dead son, Michael. All these crazy stories, and was it manslaughter? What happened to him? And did they realize just how deep he was into the sleep problem and all this other sort of stuff? So here's a snippet of Joe Jackson milking his 15 minutes of fame once again and talking about his son, Michael.
Well, I keep thinking, I just can't believe this happened to him. I'm fine, you know, I'm just still grieving over my son's loss because he was the greatest all over the world. I'm proud of that. No, I'm not angry. I'm mad. I'm mad about because I didn't know all this was going on. That's what I'm mad about. I didn't know he was taking that type of medication. They want justice to be done. And that's what is being done. First time I ever heard of the drug. I tell me that was foul play done. That's what it tells me. And more to be investigated to see what really is behind all of this stuff, not just Dr. Comrade Murray. Well, someone should pay. Not just someone, but all of them should pay that's involved. Everybody else that's involved.
All right, to me, he just seems so insincere, and he talks about not knowing all these things about his son Michael, of course, because they weren't close, given the kind of childhood that he went through. So, you know, hey, I didn't know, I had no clue, obviously, because you weren't close to your son. Matt, you heard that, obviously. You and I both share the same feelings that we think he's very, very insincere when it comes to his kids, I think, in general.
Yeah, definitely. He pretty much, I mean, I still can't believe that one CNN reporter, it was at the red carpet of some, it was the BET Awards, like the day after he had died or something like that, and all he was trying to do is promote his new record label. And that's just as insincere as it gets, and coming from the guy who supposedly, you know, beat and abused his children, I don't find it surprising at all that he's still continuing to pretty much abuse his legacy.
Yeah, I agree. And anytime they put him on camera, that's what I think. It's like, oh, here we go. But that's maybe part of the lure of getting an interview with him, and he hasn't done that many, thank goodness, because it definitely, it's about him and it's not about his kids, and you can tell that. And with the kind of childhood they suffered through, you know, look what happened and look how he turned out. He can look in the mirror and thank himself for that. All right, let's move on to news you can abuse. Elmhurst, New York. Richie Magic is picking up a wild way to kick the habit. You know, we talk about cigarette smoking and how it's one of the toughest things to stop doing. He's saying he's never going to smoke again after chewing up 200 lit cigarettes. What the magician did is he claimed a new world record for orally extinguishing chewing and expelling a carton of cigarettes. He says he chewed up the smoking smokes in 6 minutes and 3.7 seconds. He did this stunt in front of kids at a magic shop and says the kids told him it was so disgusting they'd never smoke. So I guess that's a good thing. Anything to get in the record books, even if you have to eat cigarettes. Crazy. And they were lit cigarettes. Guadalajara, Mexico. Guadalajara can finally boast the world's biggest mariachi band. Yep, 549 musicians got together to win the record for the birthplace of mariachi in Mexico. They played several songs in just over 10 minutes. Somebody from the Guinness World Records made it official at the International Mariachi Festival. They say the old record belonged to 522 mariachis who performed in San Antonio, Texas, back in 2007. I bet you they try to trump that. Somebody else tries to come out of the woodwork. Speaking of records, and this is what News You Can Abuse is about, at least this version of it anyway. Heather is a senior citizen. Nothing unusual about that. There's lots of senior citizens. But the Guinness World Records now recognizes the Carroll County, Maryland pet as the oldest living rabbit. Owner Jennifer Russell doesn't know exactly how old Heather is, 15 or 16. Guinness says most rabbits live only to be about 6 or 8 years old. Heather is living her golden years in comfort. She spends her days resting on a comforter, munching on hay, and enjoying the sun. Wow, that is a very long time to have a rabbit. 16. Wow, 16 years. Absolutely incredible. All right, we got some birthdays for you. Ready for birthdays? Singer Gloria Estefan, 52. B.G. Barry Gibb, 63. Lily Tomlin, 7. Dr. Phil McGraw, 59. Chick Boy is 40. If you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday to you.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
I appreciate your understanding.
Don't think twice. It's understanding that makes it possible for people like us to tolerate a person like yourself.
Thank you.
Don't mention it.
Bueller.